Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, thank you for gathering us here in this place and for the joy already being experienced here in worship. We're thankful for our fellowship together as the people of God and are excited whenever new people come and share in our fellowship with us. Lord God, you are growing us all through those kind of encounters and growing us as we open our hearts and minds to the ways in which you are doing new things and incredible things in our lives together and in our lives individually. Lord Jesus, just now encounter us as well, where we need to be met as a healer, as a comforter, as one who grants us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you already know, I had a great week this week with our most of our confirmation students at Caroline Furnace Confirmation Camp. And I love confirmation camp for various reasons. One is just being with the kids and being able to see them somewhat in a natural habitat, you know, having fun and not at church. We're all out playing and running around and enjoying games, meeting new friends. I enjoy my time with the other pastors. It's kind of fun. There was 8 other churches involved, so 7 other pastors, and we all get along really well. So it's a really a wonderful time of connecting. Those of you that go to professional conferences, kind of a working time away is how I kind of couch confirmation camp. It's really great. But one of the things that I truly value the most of amidst the worship, amidst the play, the fun, the laughter, the learning, is that every year. Now I know this is gonna sound weird to you, but one of my favorite things is that we read through an entire gospel during the week together. Now, doesn't that sound exciting, kids? Can't you wait to go to confirmation camp now? Woo! This year we read through the Gospel of Luke. And every year we read through the whole thing so that at the end of the time, the youth can say, we have read through an entire gospel. So we sit in our congregational groups and we talk and share, and it gives me an opportunity to talk a little bit about the book and what's important about it and just allowing them to hear the stories. Well, one of the things that came out of our conversation this year is that we talked about how a lot of times Jesus said things that just didn't sound very Jesus-y. Because we talk about Jesus, and Jesus, he loves us. Yes, he does. Jesus is there to call us and remind us of his love for us, of his peace, of his incredible comfort for our lives. And there were times where I would look at the rest of the group, and Yakely can attest, right, Yakely? I would say, and Justin, I would say, did that sound like Jesus? And y'all would be like, no, that didn't sound like Jesus, right? Because it was not Jesus-y. Well, maybe you have felt that too. You know, there's been a lot of talk at times in our history about, you know, what does it mean to have Jesus and Christian family values? And I've never once heard anybody say, now look, we're going to follow Christian Jesus family values. And what that means is that, you know what? Follow me and don't ever go say anything to your family. Right? That's what we hear today, right? Isn't that what we heard? The guy's like, look, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to be a part of your life. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but I just want to go say bye to my kids and my wife. And Jesus says, those who look back from the plow are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I've never heard anybody stand up and talk about that. You know, Jesus says a lot of Jesus-y things that we like. And we put them on posters, and we put them on bumper stickers, and somebody makes a nice meme about them, and we flash them all over Facebook. Rarely, when we hear things where Jesus says, I have come, people say I've come to bring peace. No, I've not come to bring peace, I've come to bring a sword. I've come to set mother against daughter, father against son. Likewise, let the dead bury their own dead. That would really be interesting if you saw that as a bumper sticker on your car. Follow Jesus, let the dead bury their own dead. Right? That doesn't sound real Jesus-y, does it? Well, it in fact, it is very Jesus-y. In fact, it's probably one of the most powerfully Jesus-y things that he says in Scripture. This whole lesson today is at the heart of really what Jesus is trying to teach us and is emblematic for us. Now, first, one caveat. I'm not up here espousing to say that, hey, look, Jesus doesn't want you to love your family. Of course he does, okay? He's Jesus, okay? Of course he wants you to love his family, your family. And he wants that to be a valuable, meaningful part of your life. But the thing that Jesus does in Scripture over and over, and particularly in this Gospel of Luke, is emblematic of what happens today. You see, Jesus says that while there are a ton of things in our life that are important and valuable and meaningful, there is one thing that is most important. And that one thing is God. Now, I know that may sound a bit obvious coming from a preacher, but the reality is Jesus is saying today that in the midst of all of our life, the most important thing that we are called to be focused on, that which we are called to put first in our lives, is our relationship to God. And in Jesus here, what happens in the story that Jesus tells is he says he has set his mind toward Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to the cross. And that is the most important thing in his life. And the people that are following Jesus in his mission, he doesn't have time for them to do anything but follow him and move towards that cross. To move towards that salvation. You see, Jesus, in a hyperbolic way, using hyperbole, is saying, as we commit ourselves to following God, first and foremost, that then will drive everything else about our lives. And what that will do, just as Jesus set his mind toward the cross which then becomes the gift to the world that gives us freedom, Jesus is saying that as we follow Jesus, I would submit to you today that it's not about to the exclusion of the things around us. It's about the inclusion of God in everything around us. As you put Christ first in your life, and trust me, it's not easy to do that. It's not easy for me. And I'm paid to do that. And I have a hard time too. Why? Because I'm a broken sinner just like the rest of us. But the reality is, and those moments when I've been able to really centrally have Jesus be the guiding force of my life, then my life with my relationship with my kids and my wife and as a pastor and with my friends and with my enemies and with those around me becomes better. Indeed, as we are told by Paul today, we are set free. Those of you that have ever been in any kind of discipline, whether it was a spiritual discipline or a discipline to lose weight or a discipline for athletics or for a discipline for school or whatever it happens to be, that can be hard and it can keep us from things that maybe we would be interested in doing. However, I would submit to you today that what Jesus is saying, that as we live into the discipline of putting God first in our life, what we find is that discipline leads to freedom. And that may seem a bit paradoxical. We think freedom is about fulfilling our needs and doing all the things that we want and having absolute autonomy in life. However, what Jesus is saying is that, no, really it's about being disciplined of walking that path with me, walking that path of the cross, and as you do that, you will find the real freedom of life that allows you to love and serve and heal and comfort like Jesus. Not only your life and the friends and family that you love the most, but in this world. Jesus invites you today, as he invites us every day, to recommit and reorient our lives toward him. And he does so in a way with words that don't sound so Jesus-y. The thing is, they are beautifully Jesus-y. Because what he's promising you and me is that as we walk this path of discipline, as we put Christ first in our lives, as we focus solely on this cross, this life-giving cross of Jesus, then what we will come to find is that we have been freed from all of the extraneous things that would seek to make a claim on us. And in fact, we can live and love and serve like Jesus. I'm not a farmer. Never was. My granddads were. And I remember being with my granddads on their tractors. They were plowing the field. And they would always look straight ahead. And those of you that are farmers know why, right? What if you're looking around like this when you're driving the tractor? Are zigzaggy lines like this good for a field, farmers out there? No. Focused. Straight ahead. The line is straight. And you're able to then grow and feed and bring about the crop that you want. Indeed, it becomes good soil. Look toward the cross. Look toward the cross each and every day. Put Jesus first. And what you will find is that you are freed to love all of those around you more fully, more beautifully, and dare I say, more Jesus-y. In Jesus' name, amen.